Have any idea how much it costs to heat a castle? The upkeep is going to be humongous.
Hi, I'm John, no H, and I started my first ever 9-to-5 job.
And I'm John, and I'm not a peasant, because I embezzled £350 million from the NHS.
And I'm Matt, and I couldn't decide whether to say something about table salt or fracking, so I'll talk about neither. This is Would John Rather, a podcast where I ask two people called John, spelled slightly differently, would they rather questions, and sometimes they answer, sometimes they don't. Recently, they say nothing and still manage to win the argument, so we'll see what happens this week. As always, we'll dive right in. Would you rather be a street hustler or a stuntman?
Can I be a stuntman? Because I'm too polite to be a street hustler.
A lot of street hustlers are quite polite.
No, thing is, I grift them hard, and then I'd take their money, and they'd be like, oh, I feel really bad, because that's when you need to get the bus, and I was hustling you, and you lost out, and
you can't.
I'd just rather ride a monster truck through a wall of cars. I think that'd be much more fulfilling.
You can't con an honest John. You can only con someone who's looking to get something for free. So,
what about people that are down in their luck and they think, oh, I might luck out and make something because I'm really desperate. Because not everything is like hustle.
I wasn't thinking of hustle. I was thinking more like the old gangster films where guys in the street are like, yeah, I'm going to win this game of three card Monty.
And no one ever wins.
Or where you find a ring on the street and you're like, oh, I found this. Is this yours? I can't remember all of the cons. There's one about a dog.
That was Snatch.
Is that the one where they pretend that the dog's worth loads of money and then they sell it to someone and it turns out they just stole it from the park?
No, in Snatch, the dog ate the diamond. And Brad Pitt was an Irish boxer gippo.
Played by a snail.
Played by a snail. I was like, why is this familiar? I thought we talked about it the other day. Because we did.
Well, I would obviously rather be a street hustler. And that's because...
You used to be a politician and it's basically the same fucking thing.
No. One is in the street and one is in a big oak room full of old, other, like, wealthy people that have done it for years. And there's loads of leather.
A politician in the streets and a street hustler in the sheets. That's our John.
I've never heard you, like, described better. My life.
I've always had a certain admiration for the street hustler. You know, when you're walking down the streets of Marrakesh and they manage to convince you to pay three times the value of a seashell necklace because you think you're getting a good deal.
Was that your wife, like, having a flashback to Marrakesh?
I've not actually been to Marrakesh, but I thought that it would be a better cultural reference point to our listeners than Agadir, where I've actually been.
Okay.
Exactly.
Agadir.
So,
I thought the concept of you being a street hustler in the sheets, where you're like, pick a position, any position. Oh, better luck next time. Anyway, you were talking about conning people on the streets of Agadir.
Well, anybody who can persuade you to buy something for more than its actual value and you think that you've got a good deal, you know, there's just a certain admiration for that, because it's like, I'd like to be able to sell ice to Eskimos. I'd like to be able to
be a dick.
Well, it's just...
They just seem quite social. You know, they invite you into their little houses for a cup of tea. You just think, oh, what a nice man.
I mean, I'm in two minds, because the street hustler is essentially the ones you're talking about. They're just excellent salespeople. I mean, people only pay what they think something's worth. You know, it was a big bit in Arrested Development where he's selling bottles of water in the sweat lodge for $10,000 a bottle because they wanted nothing more than a cool bottle of water. There's people that will pay millions of pounds for art, and other people that will pay millions of pounds for that classic NES game that only 10 were ever created, and things are worth different people. I'd never spend £500 on a pair of shoes, but there's women out there that would, and men, to be fair, I won't be sexist about it, there's just people out there that would, and it's... But on the other side, all I can think of when I think of Street Hustler is the guy from Pinocchio, who tricks Pinocchio by giving him the Ace of Spades. And, well, bless him, he was a real boy.
I think we're all missing the point here. Sunday, 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 monster trucks. Being a stuntman, driving on, like, driving a four-wheeled car on two wheels, riding a motorbike through a flaming log cabin. Monster trucks, like, that. Those are just, like, the cheesy sun shows you see where people, like, just everything's on fire all the time and people always drive through stuff. Or you go to Hollywood and be, like, a pro stuntman and you could pretend you're Chris Hemsworth's body double and you could be in the next Thor film. He needs arms as big as John, you know, like you need an arm the size of physically him, like on each side of your body. But, you know, that'd be dead cool. You get to meet people and hang out in nice places and you get your own trailer and people respect you in the industry. Yeah, sure, you're not going to be the person that everyone flocks to see, but you know you actually attributed to making their performance worth watching.
It's very
and explosions of fireballs.
It's a very good point. I'm glad you deviated away from the monster truck thing, because I don't feel as though monster truck drivers are stuntmen, because they're pretty safe cars, monster trucks, in the grand scheme of things.
What was their NCAP rating?
I don't know. But does it count as, like, stuntmen surely are people that put their physical selves at risk to perform death-defying stunts. Monster trucks are like 9/10 wheel.
What, the people or the trucks?
No, the trucks.
Okay.
Well, I think the other thing... Everyone would do it. I think the other great thing about being a street hustler is you get to go to all the best places.
Like monster truck rallies.
Yeah, I was going to say, what's the one thing that probably is in common between monster truck rallies and Los Angeles Hollywood? There's going to be street hustlers. And...
Oh, I thought you were going to say, like, the smell of petrol.
No, you get the street hustlers outside in Hollywood going, hey, give me $50 and I'll take you round and see all the stars. And then outside the monster truck rally, there's the street hustler who's trying to sell you his counterfeit t-shirts.
Oh, I do love a counterfeit t-shirt.
Exactly. I hate counterfeit t-shirts and I don't know why, because there is no difference between counterfeit t-shirts and real t-shirts. They're still t-shirts.
I never buy the counterfeit ones because I don't normally buy geek t-shirts anymore. But I love looking at them going, I've never seen that logo with that band in my entire life following them.
They seem to be getting better. I can't speak for the quality because, like I said, I never seem to buy them. But it used to be back in the day where you'd see like a spelling error from a distance. And now you've really got to look out for it. Like someone shared on Facebook the other day, someone had bought a counterfeit download t-shirt. And the only spelling error was like a band that was really low down on like the fourth stage, and that was the only one they could find. Whereas I remember even back in 2006 walking out of Donington Park and seeing t-shirts for Guns and Roses.
So I think you just made my point. You get to go to all the best shows, you know, you're gonna go
you
to Guns and
pay
Roses.
To get in.
You get to
on
stand
there.
Outside the best shows.
Nah, people come up to you and they sell you their tickets. When they're desperate to shed one off, and then...
No, that's the scalpers.
Yeah, that's not a street hustler.
Scalpers are the worst of the worst.
Well, you didn't restrict my license on what I could be hustling in the street.
You are pushing it, though, John, and you know how my judgment can ebb and flow with the wind. So just you toe the line there, and we'll have a good, clean fight.
I think as a street hustler, he is taking liberties.
I know.
And our money. And our trust and respect.
What's the bad guy from Oliver Twist called? Was he a street hustler?
Fagin, yeah.
Yeah. So where do we draw the line in street hustler between, like, petty criminal and, like, just a, you know, a hustler? I mean, are you pickpocketing people, John, or are you just, like I said, the three cups and the ball, where is it, three-card Monty, find the lady, find the lady. Because I think that's fair enough. That's fair game. If you're stupid enough to go down to the seaside and try and throw rings over a bottle when the rings are too small to fit over the neck, then that's your own fault. But if you're going to be pickpocketing people, you've stolen £5 out of that lady's purse. She was going to buy medicine for her child, and now she can't.
Now, I like to think that I would be the former type of street hustler, the type of street hustler who, as you said at the beginning, only cons a person who wants to be conned. You know, that, you know, people, if people are willing to part with their money, it's normally because they think they're getting something good out of it. So if they think that they are fooling the hustler, well, they've just been hustled.
Fair point. Do you want anything to add on being a stuntman?
Why would you not want to be a stuntman?
Tell you what, tell me what would be your cherry on the cake, your pied de resistance, the one that you would go down for. Tell me your stunt that would be your signature stunt that nobody would ever be able to replicate, and we'll see whether that gives you the win. I think this is a good test because...
All right, okay. Who is the most famous stuntman ever? Evel Knievel. You know what he never managed to do? He never managed to jump across the Grand Canyon. I'm thinking...
And neither will you.
No, I'm kidding. Evel Knievel was somehow a bit of a purist. He did all of his jumps on Harley-Davidsons. Harley-Davidsons are designed for cruising and touring and, like, farting around outside, like, biker cafes. They're not really designed for jumping massive distances. And he broke so many bones riding Harley-Davidsons, whereas we've got, like, 16, 17-year-old kids riding two-stroke motocross bikes, flying as far as he did, and landing the jumps constantly. So he tried to go one up, he tried to go bigger and better, and he tried to jump the Grand Canyon in a rocket car. But the thing is, you know, rocket cars, that's not his bread and butter. So the story goes that he got halfway over and bottled it. He wasn't comfortable with it, and he bailed out. So, you know, he shot the parachute out, went to the bottom of the Grand Canyon. With the chute deployed, he didn't make it all the way across because it wasn't what he was used to. So I'm going to develop some sort of crazy rocket-powered rally car, get comfortable in that, and I'm going to shoot across the Grand Canyon. I'm going to hit my rockets. I'm going to make it. I'm going to go down in the record books.
Or down the Grand Canyon.
Everyone will be like, wow. Sorry?
Or down the Grand Canyon.
No, because... I'll make it and I'll be remembered.
You know, Tom Cruise does some of his own stunts in his films, and he broke his ankle just jumping on a building.
It's pretty cool. Doing his own stunts?
No, it's not. He broke his ankle. That's not cool.
Who am I?
Cool, yeah, about breaking your ankle.
Yeah, but I think Tom Cruise is a weird Scientologist, man, but the fact he does his own stunts, I've got a lot of respect. I've got a lot of time for that.
Yeah, that's respectable. I couldn't think of the word I was thinking of, so we'll go with that. When you said the world's most famous stuntman, I knew you meant Evel Knievel, but I can't remember his name. Who was the... I'm drawing a blank. He used to handcuff himself underwater and things like that.
Why? I was going to say Dillinger Escape Plan? No.
You know who I mean. Escape artist.
Harry Houdini.
Houdini. See, he was a stuntman as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah. There's a very good chance he could have died a lot of the time.
He did die from one of his stunts, didn't he?
He had this open challenge for people to punch him square in the stomach as hard as he physically could. So he'd tense up and he'd be ready for it. But there was a guy in a crowd that liver punched him when he wasn't expecting it. And it doesn't matter how hard you are, if you get punched harder in the liver, like, it doesn't matter if you've got like a 12-pack and like you've trained your abs for years and years. If you get punched square in the liver, It's very, very bad news. So that's how unfortunately he died. Because some guy like jumped in and, yes, Houdini wasn't prepared. He got liver punched and unfortunately died of a ruptured liver.
Took the fun out of it. And then...
Yeah. There's always one guy that takes it too far. And I bet he sold fake Rolexes from under his trench coat.
He probably did. I think they're both quite respectable. They're both there... They're essentially providing joy to other people for something that they're good at.
One of them takes your money.
Yes, but at the same time, I don't think all of the stunts that any of these people did were for free. You think the people doing the stunts in Mission Impossible 2 were doing those for free or in any of the Marvel films? No, they get paid to do it. Evel Knievel certainly didn't lead a poverty-stricken life, so the money angle's not really going to sell it for you. But I am going to go with Stuntman, based purely on the infamy of your name living on. There's a lot of people in the past that may not have been stuntmen, career stuntmen or stuntwomen, but their name lives on in stories because of things they did. The first person to go down the, is it Niagara Falls on the border of Canada and America?
In a barrel.
In a barrel. That was a female, and I can't remember her name, so she's not obviously super famous, but she's famous in that part of the world for the first person to do that. And I think the idea of being a stuntman is just pushing yourself further than you're supposed to go, which is the whole part of evolution. And I don't think a lot of modern inventions could exist without that streak. Whereas I have got a lot of time for the common street hustler. I think if you're stupid enough to go for it, then you're stupid enough to lose your money. And it's just born sales. And if they could take their skills from being street hustlers into the real world and become car salesmen or just salespeople for companies, they'd probably do very well for themselves. So just based on the name, your name living on, I think they're both very honourable professions.
I think that given the light of the recent events, I think that Annie Edison Taylor was the first person to go over Niagara Falls in a barrel.
Ah, I don't know what you mean by in light of recent events, but
no, it sounded right, but it's completely out of context. It's not how you use that phrase at all. I could have opened up my bit with when in Rome, Annie Edison Taylor.
Right, okay. Well, Annie Edison Taylor, this episode's for you. She made us say that, she had us over a barrel.
Oh my
God. Way!
Way! If you thought that joke was in distaste or too soon, then tweet at us at WouldJRather, #WouldJRather. And these two have got Twitters as well, but I think only one of them's going to tell you because the other one's just not interested.
I will tell you. I am John WouldRather, which is at John, J-O-N, WouldRather. I'm still waiting for correspondence, like a lonely old hermit, but yeah, follow me on Twitter.
And I would prefer to remain a hermit.
Much like the street hustler that he endorses, we're available on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, Spotify, which we announced a few weeks ago. Listen to us, let us know by any means necessary, tweet to us or anything, what your preferred way of listening to, any feedback for the show, anything like that. We're all still learning together. Still yet to have a review on iTunes. Give us our first review, even if it's a 1-star. We'd prefer a 4-star, not 5. We're modest.
We know what we're worth.
We know we're a 4-star show in a 3-star world with co-hosts that are 4-star and 2-star respectively. And
wants to be 2-star John.
Yeah, wouldn't want to be that guy.
And just in case, I don't want to do it every episode because it'll wear thin for the listeners, but I just wanted to thank our friends in Automaton again for letting us use their music as our theme song. And our friend who does not wish to be named, the Oscar the Grouch with emo hair, as John so kindly put it, which he did not appreciate for all of the artwork that
John, I can't believe you said that.
I know, John, not very kind at all. After all of the work that he did for us, and then kindly told us just how much money it would have cost us had he sent us a bill just to make sure we were extra grateful. So thanks for that, best friend. So we'll move on to question two. Would you rather live in a giant warehouse that was one room or in a house that is the same floor space but was lots and lots and lots of tiny, tiny rooms? I'm not talking super small. I'm talking maybe 2.5, 3 meters by 3 meters. So like the box room that you'd have in a house. So not too small to sleep in, but you wouldn't fit much more than a bed in there.
Well, I think I would definitely go for the warehouse size building with just one room. I mean, just imagine the events that you could have a giant paintballing tournament with, invite all your friends, and you don't have to worry about the paintballs hitting the walls because They probably won't. They're really far away. You could have Amazon. You could make it an actual warehouse and make money out of it. You could put a lake inside and become the local wakeboarding center. I mean, there's just so much you could do with all that space. My brain is frazzled with all the space. Can't even put a coherent sentence together.
I'm impressed.
I'll tell you what you could do with it. You could pay well over the odds for heating bills because it's going to be big and it's going to be drafty. It's going to be very impractical to heat. I don't want that draft in my life. I don't want to hear the house echo when I snore. I'd love to have loads of little rooms because I quite like the idea of like each room being a different theme. So Mrs. goes, oh, where what'd you do with the phone charge? I'm like, boom, it's in the fucking pirate room, isn't it? She goes, oh yeah, I know where that is. You go to the pirate room and it's like the inside of a galleon and there's like ornate carvings you plundered from somewhere else and the bed is a hammock and like, the view out the window, you actually make it a porthole. That'd be amazing. And then other days, I'll put the phone charger in a different room because I'm spiteful like that. And she'll go, John, where's the phone charger? And I'll say, oh, it's in the ancient Egyptian room, dear. So then she's got to go to the room that's made of sandstone walls. And instead of carpet, it's actual sand because you can do what you want because it's not going to be too much of an inconvenience because if you don't want to get things sandy, you just don't go into your room that's like an ancient Egyptian tomb. You go to one of your many, many other rooms. You can have loads of crazy different themes. And imagine when your friends come and stay.
Are you getting yourself confused with Richard O'Brien? Are you turning this into the Crystal Maze?
Is
your wife going to be looking for the phone charger while you're playing a harmonica into a camera you've set up?
I'm not going to tell her, but every time she enters the room, I'm going to whisper, this one's a physical, this one's a mental, this one's a skill.
I think, as marvellous as that kind of sounds...
More marvellous than a warehouse.
The trouble for me is that, you know, I struggle with how many pockets my coat has. I can't find my money because it's in one of the five pockets. I mean, can you imagine if I said, oh, where's that £5? Oh, not only do I have to figure out which pocket it's in, I've got to figure out which of the 500 rooms it's in. Bloody hell, I can't think of anything worse. I mean, I'm never going to find that £5 note again.
How good is it when you put a £5 in your coat and it's too warm to wear this coat, so you put it in the cupboard, you forget about the £5, and then... in October, November, you put your coat on, and magically you've got £5 you didn't have before. I love that.
Yeah, but by the time you found it, it will have devalued by so much that you won't actually be able to spend it on anything because, you know, 40 years has passed and £5 is now the equivalent of 40 pence.
But I would presume that with this multi-roomed house, you wouldn't be able to remember where everything is. So it would be like Disneyland. There'd be like a map in each room saying you are here with a map of what all the rooms are. Because that would just be sensible.
It's going to be like a big hotel. Like you've got a big long hallway and then off of that hallway is loads of little annexes.
No.
Rather than it'd be like one massive corridor of
rooms. It's like that bit in Takeshi's Castle. It is a complete grid of rooms. So you can't get to a room without walking through another room.
That's pointless. You've just handicapped my argument completely by being a massive knob. Cheers.
How? You don't have to have a door on, like, every wall of every room. Some rooms you could just have one door on. So you could design it to basically have a set of rooms that were a corridor. There would just be four doors in each of those rooms. So you get to corridor, which you could label up room two, and you go left and right into that room, and you could have it set up like that. So you would essentially have a corridor, except there would be a lot of doors down that corridor, which you would need for fire safety anyway.
The thing is, if I lived in a house, it would make sense, because my wife's got a slight obsession with door stops. We've got more door stops than doors, I'm pretty sure. We've got a pig, we've got a duck, we've got a pheasant, we've got a hippo, we've got loads of door stops. So,
do you have any door stops that don't feature in Old MacDonald?
I said hippo.
Oh,
McDonald's, hippo, and it charged at us because they're the most violent animal in Africa.
I might put on my list of things to buy you as a Christmas present a door closer.
I'm laughing more at that you have a list specifically of what to buy John and his wife for Christmas. Just a specific list for him.
Yeah. It's a true story. I wouldn't buy a Christmas present for anyone else. No, I'm not buying a dog.
Buy me a dog. It's my birthday at the end of the month, and I swear down, if none of my presents bark, I will be disappointed.
I mean, in this giant house with many rooms of yours, if it decided to go for a wander with all of these doorstops you've got on, there's a good chance your dog would starve to death before you found it to feed it.
So now you're murdering animals.
I'm not murdering animals. You're the one that's got a giant house that's basically a labyrinth where you've got doorstops opening the doors for the dog to wander off into. The doors were closed, the dog wouldn't have wandered off and wouldn't be dead.
I thought you were supposed to be impartial, now you're just shitting on my parade.
I'm shitting on your doorstops.
Thanks for that.
A door should be closed. If a door shouldn't be closed, do you know what wouldn't be there? The door.
Well, you've decided I'm having loads of doors and I can't have a single corridor.
No.
How about in John's warehouse that he's got? It's like the warehouses I used to work in. Because I've worked in several warehouses, and all of them, when it rained, leaked.
Yeah, it's a giant room.
It's a giant room that leaks. Indoor waterfall and all.
It's going to have a lake, it doesn't matter. That would actually just help. That would help keep it refilled. Yeah, because I'm gonna keep orcas.
Hippos.
And hippos.
The most aggressive animal in Africa.
Well, they'll have their corner, and there'll be water skiing and wakeboarding and scuba diving. It's going to be the world's biggest indoor lake. People will come from miles around.
You don't like people.
It's in their Lonely Planet guide. Yeah, but I'm going to charge.
The thing is, you don't like people, and you're inviting them all around your house to stare at your big lake. How fun's that going to be for you? Within 25 minutes, you're going to be like out, please go away,
because
I don't have any walls and I need to do number two.
He won't be in the house. His wife will be charging entry, and he'll be sat outside his house selling knockoff T-shirts. World's largest indoor lake. I saw the hoppies.
No change rooms because there's no walls. There's no walls allowed in his massive warehouse, lake, hut building thing. So there's going to be some sort of nudist colony, and I'm not all for that. I'm not quite liberal enough for that to be my sort of thing.
You could rock up in your shorts or rock up and then when you're there do that thing where you just hold the towel around you and get changed. There's nothing wrong with that.
But in my house full of walls, there's going to be bathrooms. And it's not to be uncomfortable at all. And everyone's welcome. As much as having many rooms is a little bit, you know, eccentric, not many people have one massive room to live in. It's very awkward, and I think you'd have to spend just an extortionate amount of furniture to make it look like it was lived in, rather than you were some sort of gypsy squatter living in a warehouse. Whereas when you've got, you know, maybe slightly too many walls, it's still a house, you can still make a home out of it, you can still have designated rooms to cook in, to clean in, wash and dry and all that business. You could have like three utility rooms. You could have one room that's like designated just for ironing. So you could compartmentalize a lot of your life instead of having things like lying around in like multi-purpose mixed rooms. Because our little boy's room doubles up as a room we do the ironing in when he's not in bed, because the plug is near and the lighting is good, and we can hang hangers off his curtain rail, and it's just not ideal because. It's his bedroom after all, and we're in there ironing, and it's not great. And then the cupboard under the stairs isn't the greatest space to use to store the Hoover, because you've got to sort of get under and in there. It's just,
I've got a solution for you there, John. I've got a solution. Maybe if he did more ironing, you wouldn't have to be in his room so much.
He is two and can't reach the ironing.
Never too young to start learning.
Still can't reach the top of the ironing board, even if we reduce it like all the way down.
All the way down, that net would be flat on the floor. How tiny is your son?
He's about a metre tall.
Yes, you wouldn't even have to put it up. You could just lay it flat on the floor. Then he could reach easy. Easy.
All right.
Just do continue, sorry. I was just from my wealth of experience of parenting, I thought I'd give you some advice. I'm giving your 2-year-old an extremely hot, heavy item to play with.
I was going to say, how many children have you got? But there may be many that you don't know of.
Very potentially. Tweet at us at Would J Rather if I'm your father.
Yeah, I was just saying, if you could compartmentalise your life, how organised would you be? You'd be amazingly organised. You'd know where everything is, in its own little room, with its own purpose, rather than rattling around in some big dusty warehouse. Imagine, like, going around a warehouse and trying to have fun. It's just really weird and awkward. It's just not natural and homely. Yes, you probably wouldn't be able to have more than 4 friends around in the same room at the same time, but how often does that happen? I don't have raves and gigs and festivals in my house.
Because
I don't
you even can't.
Know that I don't even know that I would. Like, I've got a pretty big garden. Not boasting, but I don't have 30 people around every weekend for the sake of it, because I have a big garden. You've just been doing it for the sake of it, and you've admitted several times you don't like people.
Yeah, but when I have this giant warehouse,
you're gonna magically start liking other human beings again? Doubt it.
No.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, if you don't like my lake idea. And you were talking about being organised, but there is nothing more organised than a warehouse.
There's a massive space with... Are you going to have racking in it?
No, it's going to be like Raiders of the Lost Ark. It's going to be like Raiders of the Lost Ark, and I'm going to have, like, the Philosopher's Stone in there, just hidden in a big box.
That's Harry Potter.
Yeah, we're crossing over.
Mixing them up. Doesn't matter. Point is, there'll be one. It'll be stored under category...
F for philosopher.
Yeah, exactly. It will be categorised. It will have its shelf. It will be in the warehouse. You want it, we've got it.
John's Emporium.
I really thought going into this question, because I didn't come up with it that long ago. It came to me earlier on today, and I thought that I might end up leaning towards the warehouse, but I've leaned towards the lots of smaller rooms for 2 reasons. Number one, I like what you were saying about you could have the individually decorated rooms, the themed rooms, and also it would be like when you play The Sims and you start out with a tiny little room in a tiny little one-bedroom house, and then you eventually, and well, in real life, I didn't have to compare it to The Sims, but I'm a nerd, but where you slowly buy a bigger house when you've got the money, and then you kit it out with the stuff you've got, so you buy more stuff to fill up the space, you've then got too much stuff, so you go to a bigger house. You could start off in just living in one small corner of the place, and maybe once every 3-4 months when you've got the money, fully kit out a room, move on to the next one. And slowly but surely you'd open it up, Qbert style, lighting up this house. It would be really, really interesting having all these different rooms, all these different spaces, because let's be honest, for anything you need to do, you don't need much more than a small sized room to do it in. And also while you were talking, the analogy came to me when John said about pockets. Now, John, despite the fact that you might say sometimes it's difficult for you to find things because you have too many pockets, would you rather have a pocket than how women tend to have these huge handbags, which is just one giant pocket? It's the same concept.
They can never find anything in.
Yes. Everything is exactly where it's supposed to be. My phone goes in the same pocket every single day with my wallet. In the other pocket goes my tobacco and my lighter. In my back pocket goes my keys. And then if I've got an inside pocket, that's where my headphones go. And that everything's got its place. And I feel like it would be much easier to arrange and have a good life in the many-roomed house that John is definitely going to have to learn the harmonica for when he eventually owns. So, yeah, small rooms win.
Yay.
Before you move on to what everyone knows is going to be my question, I'm getting a bit sick of telling people that we make a podcast and then asking me if I can send them a link so they can watch it. 2018! Do people not know what a podcast is yet? God!
So what channel is it on?
I've genuinely recently had to start explaining to people, I'm just basically saying, it's like a radio show, but you can listen to it whenever you want. And they go, oh! Like Sky Plus. Yes, like Sky Plus.
So, Matt, I've got a question for you this week.
Have you?
I do.
Oh, what a turn of events.
What a turn of events. So, would you rather lose your eye in a jousting match and win a knighthood, or win a game, a tournament of time splitters on the internet, win £4,000 and the respect of the internet for 25 minutes.
I would rather win time splitters, hands down.
I hope you were going to say that. I was going to say, if you, otherwise, I don't know you anymore.
No question. A, I don't want to lose an eye. B, I have no interest in riding a horse. C, I already regularly have to handle long objects, so that wouldn't be any sort of challenge, ladies. And D, could you imagine how many people would respect me if I won an online tournament, like, for coming first in time splitters? And to be honest,
me for what?
If there was a world championship in time splitters, the grand prize would probably be about £4,000 because it seems to have gone below the radar because it's not been anything's happened with it in so long. Though they are working on Time Splitters 4, although I'm pretty sure it's only going to come out on PC.
They're doing HD remakes.
I don't know about HD remakes, but I know that sort of it's being like a community run development for Time Splitters 4 that they're going to release on PC. But they've managed to get use of all the old assets. But yeah, 100%. £4,000. Admiration of anybody that's ever even heard of Time Splitters. Even if it's only for 25... Well, you said internet fame for 25 minutes. But admiration of anybody that's ever played Time Splitters. Plus, just to be that good at Time Splitters, there's a certain thrill that you just don't get from anything else.
Let's face it, the internet's the biggest thing in the world. So
25 minutes on the internet is basically the same as a knighthood. I don't want to be knighted. What actually happens if you're knighted? The queen touches me with a sword. Whoop-dee-doo. She might take my other eye out. She's getting old.
No, I'm thinking of the old-style knighthoods where you get, like, a castle and...
Bronn never got his castle.
You get... What?
Bronn never got his castle.
Bronn never got
exactly,
his castle.
Well, exactly. That kind of knighthood where it comes with, you know, land and... people that you can boss around and farm.
And fair maidens.
I have a fair maiden. I don't need any more. Maybe you are one full of lust that doth need more than one woman to quench your insatiable needs, John. But I'm happy with just the one. Oh, thank you very much. Also,
you'll
with
go
one
down
eye.
In history, you'll go down in history in the songs that they sing around campfires.
When's the last time you sang a song about someone winning a jousting match?
I mean, last time at my barbecue that you didn't come to. Thanks very much.
Oh, well, I didn't get an invitation. And also, highly convenient, there's no proof. More importantly, with one eye, I wouldn't be able to play Time Splitters very well. So, Time Splitters. Easy.
And we can still be friends.
Exactly. And even if I was that good at jousting, as soon as I'd lost an eye, my depth of perception would be gone, so I'd never be able to joust again. So, it'd be a pointless skill. If I won...
What about if you didn't lose... What if you didn't lose an eye?
But that wasn't the question. I've lost an eye. You can't suddenly re-give me an eye. So I win knighthood, I win a castle, I win many, many fair maidens, I win land, and I win a bionic eye. You're just trying to sweeten up the deal. However, if you promise me a bionic eye as well as all the other things mentioned, then I may give up the Time Splitters Championship and the £4,000. Because, I mean, what does this bionic eye do? Can I fire lasers out of it?
Can you see through people's clothes?
What is it with you two and the smut this week? Golly.
You can joust really well with it.
How would I joust with an eye? Is it a really, like, long eye?
You've got a massive stigmatism. It's 12 foot long.
Yeah, when you say a bionic, when you say a bionic eye, do you just mean that you've just, like, stuck a pool cue in my eye socket?
And when you look around, it waves around like a crazy thing.
Yeah, like slapstick
it's
comedy.
More trouble than a Dalek's arm.
Tell me what this bionic eye does and I'll make my decision final.
What if you lost your eye during the Time Splitters competition?
No, you can't. Why are you taking things away from... Why?
Well, it just seemed... I thought that the knighthood was just so good that I had to sort of unsweeten the deal somehow by making you lose an eye, but you just seem too enthralled by the Time Splitters that I'm having to... reverse it round and actually, no, you win the knighthood, you win the respect of the internet for 25 minutes, or you can win a Time Splitters competition and £4,000. You don't get the respect of the internet anymore, you don't, and you lose an eye.
And so you're taking
you,
away your respect.
Making his life harder.
So I no longer get the respect.
You've got to pick what you want.
I no longer get the respect of the internet and I lose the eye from the Time Splitters, but I get knighted and win the respect of the internet, plus everything else, but I don't lose an eye.
Yeah.
Right, okay. Just to spite you, I'm going to stick with the Time Splitters competition, because I feel that strongly about Time Splitters.
I think it was probably the correct answer, because otherwise we would have told you you were weak on your morals.
Yeah, I love Time Splitters so much. I haven't played it in so long. I think if my car
passes... I think we should all buy PS2s.
Well, I think if my car passes its MOT next week, the money I've kept aside to like fix my car, I'm going to go and buy myself a GameCube and Time Splitters and lock myself in a room for a week. Well, yeah, a lot of the PS2 games that I'd want are still available to play on like the PSN store, whereas there's a lot of GameCube games that I want to play, but you would only be able to play on the GameCube. So in actual fact, I wouldn't buy a GameCube because they're expensive. I'd buy a Wii, because you can play GameCube games on the Wii and attach GameCube controllers.
And then we could all go to your house and play Smash Brothers.
Exactly.
Yes.
So keep your fingers crossed for me, everybody listening. Let's keep your fingers crossed that I pass my MOT, that I buy Time Splitters, and then I beat these two at Time Splitters while simultaneously losing an eye. They both feel bad and give me £2,000 each. They forget to record it and put it online, so I can't use the internet fame to get more listeners to the podcast that we collectively make together, and we thoroughly enjoy doing it. Thanks for listening.
I don't want to sound really harsh, but you're going to fall at the first hurdle. I will beat you at Time Splitters.
I've been not John, and that's the funniest joke anyone's made on this show.
Joke's on you, mate. I've been John. Joke's still been on you.
I've been John, and I'm going to go take my fucking castle.
And he's been John, and he really doesn't understand how good Time Splitters are.
Well, no, because he tries to play it with GoldenEye controls.
Yes, he's an idiot. He's the worst. See you later, everyone. It's a
what's wrong with you people?
Got to place your audience, mate.
Yeah, well, my audience are fucking idiots. Come on.